International Women's Day is celebrated in many countries around the world on the 8th of March. Today, a Moncton-based feminist group is trying to shine a light on the work performed predominantly by women in the community sector. Women make up 80% of the workforce in nonprofits and charities, according to a 2020 report published by the Canadian Women's Foundation. The Regroupement Féministe de Nouveau-Brunswick, or RFNB, says the work of those organizations is essential but remains undervalued. On Wednesday, the RFNB organized a march in Fredericton to shine a light on the underfunding of the community sector, saying we're worth more than that. For details, CHMA interviewed Elise Pelletier. She's a communications officer and political analyst with RFNB. We started by talking about how things went at Wednesday's protest.
So yeah, we had about roughly 50, 60 people show up here in Fredericton. You know, we didn't have any trouble getting people to sing along and to kind of like chant for just generally like women's rights, but also the reason why we were organizing the march, which is a better financing in the community sector. Which is largely dominated by women. I think it's between like 80 or 90% of that workforce is composed of women. Organizations are coming out more and more and saying that they don't have either the budget or the resources to fully, do the work that they're supposed to do. When you have a workforce that's mainly women doing that work, you realize that they're doing unpaid work, women, even though they are the majority of that workforce, still get paid less than men in the community sector. So there's a lot of issues here. We're kind of asking government to step up.
So can you talk about this kind of instability in financing and the kinds of services that these community organizations are providing in their communities?
Yeah. When we talk about the community sector, it's really wide ranging. We talk about obviously those organizations that are like carrying some certain causes like we do. So like women's rights. But we're also talking about organizations working in immigration, in education, organizations that are working for, gender-based violence, like offering direct services to the community. And they depend on sources that are always kind of like precarious, and they depend on government funding. And that remains kind of unstable because, as you know, it depends who is in power at the moment and what their priorities are. So that is a barrier for those organizations to actually do the work that they need to do on the ground.
You end up spending a lot of time filling out applications and evaluations in the sector, don't you, just to get project funding?
Yeah, that goes without saying. I think Krista Cowling, the chair for the Coalition for Pay Equity, mentioned in her speech that I think it's something like 30% of like resources or time from an employee like go to just getting the funding. So that's all time and resources that we already don't have to do the other work that we do. We're kind of like left to fight for scraps among each other in that sector, and we can't focus our energies on the work that actually needs to be done.
And of course, services in the community sector include some roles that affect women in particular, with examples including childcare, gender-based violence response and prevention, shelters for women. And we've heard reports following the onset of COVID-19 that some of these organizations were under more pressure than ever, with, for example, an upsurge in reports of domestic violence from groups like Crossroads for Women, the shelter in Moncton. Could you talk about the underfunding of the women's sector in particular and what this means for communities?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, the COVID has made things, worse, considerably worse for gender minorities, for women, but especially within those groups, even more marginalized groups, right? And so what happens when we have a spike of like violence, for instance, we haven't seen, I guess, from government, something to kind of help the organizations on the ground, not just in an emergency type of like situation, but also in the long term, right? So I guess what we're seeing is like putting band-aids on issues such as gender violence is it's not gonna be in the long term a solution that is gonna work, right? So yeah, you know, we've heard of shelters that, you know, that are full, that can't take in any more women, and we've had that violence spike considerably. So it's quite worrying for us, you know, to kind of witness that and to see that a provincial government racking in, you know, a surplus, while we know that specifically, we know which organizations need more funds and need more help to do their work.
You mentioned the provincial government's budget surplus. Recently, New Brunswick projected a surplus of more than $800 million. And scholars have often pointed out that in recent decades, governments in countries like Canada, the US, and Britain have moved towards what's called a neoliberal form of government, favoring free market capitalism, deregulation, reduced government spending. Do you think that this has put more pressure on the community sector to provide social services?
Oh, of course. I think that the move, the offloading of kind of like the social services, community services has been quite, it's been happening more and more. Like you said, it's part of a neoliberal kind of like way of doing things. And yeah, that's a bit the injustice that we're kind of trying to point to, is they're taking those services and they're saying, okay, we're going to do in the community, less government action, less government, but in fact, we need more of those services to be offered by government. I think that's the role of the government as well. And sure, organizations are doing, you know, can help, and they should work in coordination with organizations doing that work. But you know, they're things that are kind of putting extreme pressure on those organizations. Because they know the needs, they work with the people, they're not going to stop their work, right? But the reality is they're exhausted. So we kind of have more and more people falling through the cracks as a result.
And your group cites figures from the Fédération des Communautés Francophones et Acadiennes, a federation that represents groups across the country. They found that more than two-thirds of organizations say they are underfunded. What kind of response do you want to see from the government of New Brunswick?
We obviously want to see more investment. We want to see you know, money going to organizations that's not tied to a project that's not going to end in 3 years. You know, I think that the main ask from both provincial and federal government is kind of a more stable financing of those organizations. But obviously that goes hand in hand with a bunch of other things that we're asking, which is to also for government to provide those social services. They do have a responsibility in that end.
And that was Elise Pelletier, communications officer and political analyst for the Regroupement Féministe du Nouveau-Brunswick. CHMA also reached out to local resident Margaret Tuse King, someone with an extensive background in the community sector. In an email, she said women who work in the community sector in North America are poorly paid with few savings, if any. She noted that she was involved in an effort to improve conditions by lobbying the government to provide support for retirement investments for people working in the sector. She said the statistic that floored me at the time was that most women who retire after a lifetime of service to community work, such as food banks, childcare, and working with the disadvantaged, have an average of just $800 savings by the time they are 65 with no other assets. Once their Canadian pension plan, old age security, and guaranteed income supplement are factored in, many women retire with an income of perhaps $24,000 per year, she said. And one more related note on this story. Next week, Mount Allison University will be the site of an event called the Valuing Care Work Summit. The event will bring together caregiving employees and employers, family and unpaid carers, advocacy groups, and policymakers to explore how to improve service delivery models, as well as work and employment in the care sector, with a focus on special care homes, community residences, and home support services. That's taking place on Friday, March 17th, all day at Tweedy Hall on the Mount 8 campus. The event is free with bilingual interpretation available. Registration is required. For more information, email chkelly@mta.ca.